Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land. Guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, from a tell bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a Comatell pro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started didn't fight, just stripped to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck until they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Body kill they brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in L.A. Fed kids on a spoon with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to steal. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA agent. Everything they could to brotherhoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, no conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's
known,
now they wanna
sign
and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's
about
to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Don't
We want to thank the Almighty God of the world for the opportunity to be with you with yet another episode of Black Power Radio. To you, our vast listening audience, and to all of those that have supported Black Power Radio throughout the years, and those great, vast audience of participants that have participated in Black Power Radio over the years. We are, again, the cubs of the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We have come via the leadership of Hashim Akhenaten Nzinga. And this Black Power Radio is just a conglomerate of information, knowledge, and hosts that seek the best of all that there is to offer the Black community. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, bar none, and that is on your smartphone, and some may have a dumb phone, and perhaps on your Android, and some call it their paranoid phone. But nevertheless, we are again here to give you information and to have you participate, and there's some forms of entertainment, and Black Power Radio is just an action-packed network, and we just like you to buckle your seatbelts. And we have an episode tonight. I want to ask the question, the pertinent cross-examination question. Does Mark Ridley Thomas and L.A. politics intercorrelate with Howard University students, their protests, the takeover, and what is taking place at the Blackburn Center? So with that said, we are here to do what we can do to bring you some knowledge, information, and there'll be some entertainment as well, because we had some music, some interludes, and therefore we are now going to shout it out and bring our host all the way from the West Coast. We have our beloved sister right in the wings of Los Angeles, and we want to welcome her to the airways, our beloved sister, the Dr. Mello Desire. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power, and welcome again to the network here at Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Black Power. Greetings, Black family. Thank you so much.
Greetings.
Yes, it's been a rainy day, Black family. I know it's raining somewhere, and so much needed, so much to tell. I'm so glad to be with you today. Yesterday, we went in detail of the current indictment of a Los Angeles City Councilman, Mark Ridley Thomas, and we went in depth Howard University students currently who are still protesting on day 13, I believe. Day 13, they are requesting the Board of Trustees and Frederick to actually give them housing, food, you know, the basic necessities that a undergrad student at a historical Black university should receive. So why is it that they are still requesting for these basic needs? Well, Black family, we'll see what takes so long for our people to get together. So we are so happy to be here this evening and to really go over some necessary details. So beginning, let's find out, take all the way to California. We want to start finding out what is going on with Los Angeles City Council. In the second hour, we'll go in depth about the current indictment in which Mark Ridley Thomas is facing and why the county council, as well as the county treasurer, who are not indicted as well with him. This is some serious stuff, Black family, which is why politics right here on Black Power Radio is important for you to follow through. So if you have not researched the Mark Ridley Thomas indictment as of now, I encourage you to please look it up. There's some very important details for you to understand how Black politics really doesn't affect the Black community as we think. So if we can, I would like to go over some current stories concerning Howard University. We're going to concentrate right now on Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., which is the capital of the world, which is a stone throw away from Howard University. So why is it that many of our students are still protesting? The main leader of this movement, and if you haven't followed their story, you can go to Instagram at underscore the live movement. Instagram underscore the live movement, where you'll see a leader, Anaya Vines, who has been very vocal. And this young lady was so proud of her because she mobilized many of the remaining students, and they're probably about no more than 50 that had no housing after they paid their tuition. But out there for the last 2 weeks, we had our chairman, Shiki Makbar, and Queen Janae, who's been out there feeding them food, home-cooked food, for the last week and a half. And this is from the heart, and this is from the soul. And yet, a historically Black college in which our dear Vice President, Kamala Harris, has not even been there as well. So what's going on, President Wayne Fredericks? We need to know. Hopefully we'll be able to get some phone calls in from the students themselves in the next week or so. And we would like to, on Black Power Radio, to identify each of these students who have been there since day one as to what prompted them to even reach so far to take matters into their own hands and start a sit-in. This is actually what the Black Panther Party represented. It is change. And so these Black students that didn't receive basic food, mold and mildew, tons of pictures of mold and mildew in their dormitories. Black family, this should never happen. And many of our students that go there, they're actually coming from homes that are already difficult. So for them to achieve and actually admit themselves into the school only to be faced with lack of housing, lack of nutritious food, and the faculty and deans are nowhere to be found? Why is it almost 2 weeks that we're still waiting for negotiation? And this is the type of thing, Black family, that we have to look into. How are our students in America being treated? How is a Black man continually getting the crumbs when a university that should have an endowment of at least $2 billion, many average of them? So why do we have dorms with mold and mildew? It doesn't happen overnight, Black family. Mold and mildew is something that builds up. It builds up, Black family, and the side effects from inhaling mold and mildew. We went over that yesterday, and shout out to Dr. Boyce Watkins and his wife, Alicia, that covered many of the in-depth details of what these students were going through. Can you imagine your child going off to better themselves and become the adult that we have raised them to be, only to face tragedy of mold and mildew? And this is something that could affect not only their mental state, but when they're trying to get their degree, this is really a bad start. So I want to say, America, we have to do better. We have to do better for our Black children, Black parents. We have to really be on ball with this. And the struggles that we go through in our own lives, it cannot reflect on a future of at least these 50 kids who are currently, right now, Black family, as we speak, are in tents in a historically Black university. So we want to play a couple of videos and see the updates. And there's many, many posts from students, from supporters as well. So there's about maybe 200 people to 300 people there supporting the students. But a lot of the supplies are still needed, Black family. They still need blankets because it's cold. They need packaged food. Queen Janae actually has been cooking home-cooked meals, and this is not easy, for almost 200 people a day, almost 1,000 people in the last week. Action speaks louder than words, Black family. And if we can pull together.
Queen Melody, speaking of, I think she's just joined us. Let's see if we can bring our Queen Mother of D.C. and the Chairwoman, Janae Cook Muhammad. I think she's out there the line. Let's see if we have. Do we have Janae live?
Black Power.
Do we have Queen
Janae? I'm here.
Black Power. Go ahead.
Black Power, sis.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We have an action-packed show update from Washington, D.C. It is currently raining. Therefore, the students are outside in the rain at this hour. It's been constantly raining for the last couple hours here in Washington, D.C. And just know that your children, if you're listening and you have a child at Howard University, it's a possibility that they're outside in this rain, in the weather. They're only letting a certain amount of those students inside the Blackburn building. The other ones have to stay outside, and they are sleeping in tents. Okay, so that's a reality check for Black students in the nation's capital at this hour. I had to switch gears from in the kitchen today to in my closet, getting them warm clothes and coats and jackets from our relief fund we have in the New Black Panther Party, Washington, D.C. chapter. Like I told you, we have a free house, free clothing, free food, free shoe program in the Washington, D.C. chapter. And I just keep that stuff. I order it. Some of it is brand new. Some of it is slightly used. But we gave a big bag of those clothing and items to the students at Howard University today. Because they're no longer being able to take home-cooked meals unless they're sealed or whatever. They can still get home-cooked food, but it's got to be in a sealed container. And as we know, containers and things like that cost money. We don't have it at this hour. We have food that we can serve for them, but we do not have the money to supply 200 students a day containers. So we're going to have to switch gears and support those students until we get funding otherwise. This is not just a Howard issue. This is a Washington, D.C. issue. That's why the New Black Panther Party has been actively engaged with this protest and supporting those students. It's a prime example of gentrification here in Washington, D.C., where they have sold off campus property to private entities, and now you got these uppity people that are walking their dogs on Howard campus and told them that if they don't want their dogs to shit on their yard, then they need to move their school, pretty much. That was the thing back in 2020. They told them, if y'all don't want our dogs on your yard, then move your school. And, you know, you had kids out there that were studying on the grass and they were stepping in dog poop and all these things like that. But this is just the reality of what we have had to deal with during this 20-year comp plan that they have for Washington, D.C. to out all Black residents and dislocate Africans and integrate them into situations that could cost them their lives. Because several of our Black youth here in Washington, D.C. have been murdered, like Antoine. What is Antoine's last name, Aqua? I can't remember. Antoine.
You got me on the spot as well.
Yeah, I forget. He came to my mind, but he just passed away. He had passed away. He was murdered in his sleep. The boy fell asleep in his car at the wheel, at a red light, and instead of the police waking him up, the police officer shot and killed him. They've been holding a protest on New York Avenue in, New York and, Florida? New York and Florida Avenue every day, pretty much.
Antoine Oliver is they said his name. Antoine Oliver, 36 years old.
Yeah, he's shot right there in Washington, D.C. in his car sleeping. Okay. It's just his last name escaped my mind. Please forgive me for that, but all of this is in conjunction with each other. This is an attack on Black America. It's not just an attack on Harvard privileged students. It's an attack on Black America. The closer they come into us, the more they want to kill and eliminate us. And the face of Washington, D.C. has changed so drastically, you can't even go from one side of town to the next side of town and actually know where you at anymore. It's unrecognizable. Right. The roads have changed. The scenery has changed. The dynamics and the graphics with the demographics of what's going on has changed in Washington, D.C., and we need to bring awareness to this across the country. Like you said, it's a direct correlation with what's going on in Los Angeles as opposed to what's going on right here in Washington, D.C., and we've got to connect the dots and find a common ground that we can all come to a conclusion to say this is their war. This is how they're fighting us. This is how they're winning against us.
Now, this Antoine is A-N-T-W-A-N. It's Antoine Gilmore is the one I was trying to think of in D.C. Now, there's an Antoine Rose spelled the same way, killed by police. So there are several Antoines that have been killed by the police. So we want to update everyone and let them
know. This is lately. This is the latest murder that they've committed with by D.C. Metropolitan Police. But, yeah, we was out there with Antoine Gilmore the first day of protesting. We were the first on the scene, Shaky Ma'am Akbar and myself, correct, Shaky Ma'am? We were there first. Others have followed suit with their protests and things like that. But they're not asking the right questions. They're not going to the right place. We need to go back to what district is that? 4th D? Yeah. That's the 4th district. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to 4th D. Rhode Island. Is that 4th district? Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay. That's what we need to be doing, organizing against these police departments that are practicing malicious behavior towards our youth. He was asleep. I mean, how can you shoot a gun?
By being on the city line, Janae, it'd be a toss-up between 5D and 3D, the way it's situated.
5D and 3D. Okay.
It could be 5D or
3D. 4D is uptown. 5D is right there by New York Avenue.
Yeah, but you get on the northeast side. And
it's on the northeast side.
Yeah, Bangor Road.
Okay.
Well, whichever topic was, wherever he come from, that's where we need to be organizing it. And let's get on that front door and make
and
some
noise.
And
they're not closed. They have closed that Wendy's. Now, another Wendy's, a brother was killed in Atlanta that was asleep at the Wendy's. And another one killed in Vallejo in basically in Oakland area. Vallejo is a suburb, Oakland, San Francisco area. Killed at the Taco Bell. The rapper killed at the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
About these police finding my brother's asleep, and the brother wakes up. I mean, I don't see where anyone coming out of their sleep is going to be any real threat to you, but they end up killing them, shooting our brothers dead while sleeping. So it's just, it's gotten out of hand in America.
That's right. That's how.
Black power. So let's take a look at what's happening at Howard University. Here's a clip.
Our students are camping out in tents in a protest over what they call unlivable housing conditions. ABC's Kenneth Moten is there. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning, Stephanie. This student-led takeover at one of the most prestigious HBCUs in the country is growing for nearly 2 weeks now. More than 150 Howard University students have been occupying the Blackburn Center in the heart of campus and sleeping in a tent city outside, protesting what they call horrific, dangerous, and unlivable conditions inside several dormitories. Students say they're experiencing flooding in the hallways and inside their rooms, many of them sharing images online that have gone viral using the hashtag Blackburn Takeover. The school is one of the most notable and funded HBCUs in the country, accepting their largest single donor donation of $40 million just last year. Students who pay $40,000 to $50,000 a year to attend this university are demanding answers and changes. In a statement, the university pushed back on the claim, saying the well-being of our students is always one of Howard University's top concerns and that the administration is actively addressing the concerns students have shared. The university also said all but one dorm has been renovated the last 5 years, and the complaints concern less than 1% of the dorms on this campus, with the students who have taken over that building say that's not the case, and they will be there until there is a housing action plan that protects all students. They've been getting support from celebrities and Howard alumni as they continue to push for safer living conditions. And also, by the way, this weekend is Howard University's homecoming, so even more attention on all of this, Victor.
And we know you'll be following it for us. Okay, thank you so much.
Now, there are some inconsistencies that I think I'm hearing now, because they're saying a lot of celebrities and people out there supporting these kids, and that the renovation and the demands that they requested are halfway met. Is that true?
No, that is not true. Those kids are still sitting out there in the rain today.
Right.
That's why
I came on
to make it very clear that they were lying. They had some administrators come out and say, oh, they got adequate housing, they just making a scene and blah, blah, blah. You got the kids talking about the mold damage and having to be rushed to the emergency room for inhaling all of these mold spores. And it's just, you know, it's just crazy. What we're concerned about is, where are the parents of these children?
Gosh.
And why have not the, I mean, it's not, I don't think none of the parents have it, because I do know Queen Mother Nene Tay, her son goes to Harvard, and she's the only parent that
Howard.
Has been, yeah, Howard, sorry, goes to Howard, but she has had boots on the ground every single day. She is actively there, actively advocating for her son and his peers with Harriet's Wildest Dreams organization, Mutual Aid Fund. They're the ones also organizing the food for the kids. That's why we are on the campus, because we connected with other organizations that are grassroots that were already there and in conjunction with the student protest. So I just don't know. And I've asked her, I was like, where are these kids' parents at? You know what I'm saying? I've asked some of the children, where are your parents? What are your parents saying? Some of the parents want them to come home. Some of the kids don't want to come home. They just want what their money. They want to get what they paid for. They want their education, and they want a decent place to live and decent food. That's all they're asking for. You know, and that's not hard, and it is the community's responsibility to answer to that, you know, and we need to be charging Howard by the day, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For this community outreach program that is, we're outsourcing it, our resources and exhausting our resources to help them with something that should automatically be provided to the students. You know, they didn't have to shut down their cafeterias and starve them out just to end the protest. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Right.
Those kids are holding a peaceful protest. They're not being obnoxious. They're not being rude. They're not being rowdy. Some of the security guards, did you get that clip of the security guards last night?
Yes. Well, he was actually pretty aggressive.
If you want to play that, you can hear the confusion with the security guards, and they got everything on tape. This is the same security guard that has been there for throughout the whole process. He's getting burnt out. He's getting tired and frustrated. So it's time for him to go find another post. He decided he wanted to put the sub on the kids. Go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, we have to know who the security guard is and identify him and find out how many security is down there. At this point in time, the students should have never been encountering this type of aggression from Howard University staff members, whoever they may be. So this is a direct call to action. We must mobilize troops down there to help you guys out, to continue to make sure these demands are met. By next week, we should have identified most of the students there, and we want to hear from them. We want to hear their stories, so that way nationwide, Panthers, so we can actually support them because they have created history. Neither in 2021 had we imagined that we would have another sit-in, but lo and behold, in our nation's capital, this is where we are. And Shaking Mom, you mentioned someone before about Antoine Gilmore. This is somebody we haven't really heard too much on the news. We want to play you a clip, and then we want to get some insight on what D.C. police is doing currently for this case.
This afternoon that shows a D.C. police officer shooting and killing a man in northeast Washington.
Yeah, that officer fired at a man who was sleeping inside a car along New York Avenue early yesterday morning. Now, investigators tell us the man had a gun in his waistband. The body camera video shows the car slightly lurch forward. Moments later, an officer fired multiple shots. You can see multiple angles of the shooting here, but none show a clear picture of what was happening inside the vehicle.
And here is another perspective, this from a nearby witness. You can see multiple officers surrounding the car and then suddenly disperse. News 4's Paul Wagner has the latest on this.
At 2:45 Wednesday morning, D.C. police get a call for a man asleep at the wheel of a car on New York Avenue at Florida Avenue Northeast. When officers arrive, they see the man at the wheel has a pistol on the right side of his waistband. His foot is on the brake, and his left hand is on the wheel. Officers call for backup, get a shield, and attempt to wake him.
Move up closer. Move up. Mr. Gunn.
For several minutes, the officers keep an eye on the man as an officer with the shield gets in position.
Hey, come closer. Put the light on his hand. Knock on the window.
All right. You see him?
Yeah, I see him.
All right, man.
I see him. He's waking up.
They look pretty aggressive, these officers.
Come on.
D.C. Police Chief Robert Conti says although it's against policy to fire into a moving car, the department does not yet have a statement from the officer who fired his weapon and do not know exactly what he saw.
It's very difficult to see from that officer's vantage point through the lens of the ballistic shield that he had deployed. It's very difficult to see what he saw at the point where he fired his weapon.
Chief Conti says the officer, who has more than 10 years' experience, fired 10 rounds. And when the car came to a rest after hitting a tree, the officers found the gun in the waistband of the man they've identified as Antoine Gilmore.
Firing out a moving vehicle is inconsistent with our policies. I would not draw any conclusions from the positioning of where the firearm was at the time it was recovered, but to your point, have a policy with respect to shooting at or from moving vehicles.
The shooting is drawing some strong reaction, to include a tweet from Ward 4 council member Janice George, who said, sitting here trying to figure out how law enforcement can successfully de-escalate a white domestic terrorist in a truck threatening to blow up the Capitol with a bomb, but not a black man who fell asleep in his car. So far, News 4 has been unsuccessful in finding Antoine Gilmore's family. Police say he did not have a permit for the firearm and was wanted on an outstanding assault with a dangerous weapon charge in the district from last October. In the district, Paul Wagner, News 4.
So Antoine Gilmore, they could not see what was in the car when he was moving, but they fired. And this is the disgusting way of how they handle us. Shaking Mile, can you tell us a little bit about how you feel about this particular situation in the Gilmore family.
He put it back in the basically from the streets of Washington, D.C. And he, at the time, was in transition. And from the environment that he comes from what my grandson and others that knew him, say he kept a gun for protection, not for any criminal intent, but just for protection from the environment and the area he was in and from the streets that he comes from. And all of those youngins in that area, first in New York, will likely have a gun because of the just the nature of the streets and the environment in which we live in. But the intent of the officer was not to more or less subdue or to find out what is taking place, knowing that this person is asleep. And in awakening, he was astonished. And they fired without a warning, without saying or requesting that he would put the gun down, or if you have a weapon, throw it out the window or do something in that order. But he presented no counter threat to the officers from my investigation. And we led a few protests on this, but it's just the same scenario if you do two snaps and a rewind on Trayvon Martin, on Michael Brown. It's the same scenario that they have full intent to kill. They fire with the intent to kill, regardless if they are a threat or regardless if the person is person of interest is black, they have full intentions to kill them. We believe what motivates some of this is that it is a known fact that white nationalists, other white militia, their Gestapo attitude, but they will put up their money upwards of $1 million from that whole network if you can bring back a body bag. A black man, especially in a body bag, will give you $1 million worth of support that you can actually quit the force, relocate, and get you some new, meager beginnings, and go somewhere else and do the exact same thing, as in Darren Wilson, I believe his name was, that shot Michael Brown. Just move on over to Kansas City or to Oakland or wherever that is that he wants to relocate. And so they will take a gamble on that. They can kill this black man and get the trophy of the $1 million lotto or the $1 million pot that will be put in an escrow and an account that they will have access to for ample defense in their case and for some nice retirement and vacation money. And that's why many of them run away and say, I quit, all the way up to the chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
It gets in that certain situation that white militia will put up that money, and the chiefs are saying, the chief of D.C. left on the same circumstance, on the death of a young black man, Brother Karan. His name is Karan. He was a Muslim. Karan Hilton was executed by, it was a police, a vehicular homicide, ran him right into the street. Terrence Tattoo Sutton knew the man very well, and upon his execution, Chief Newsom, you all can Google that, Chief Newsom quit D.C.'s department. This is the chief of police of the nation's capital, and runs to the suburbs and takes a job in Woodbridge, Virginia. So we understand, I'll let you all carry from there, but it's just a whole connect the dots from Chief Ramsey coming to Chicago to D.C. to Philly, and Obama appointing him over these killings and executions. The nation capital is the key to stopping the execution and start the black revolution, black power.
Black Power. I'm going to see if we can, Chief Newsom, the gentleman that resigned, if we can get a clip from there. Queen Janae, you were saying something?
Yeah, we were actively on the scene with Caron Hilton from the time of his death to the insurrection at 4th District Police Department. Well, I was, put it like that, I was there with his family when he got injured on that scooter. He's on a moped riding without a helmet. In D.C., you can't stop anybody on a motorcycle or a dirt bike or anything like that. They weren't, that wasn't a valid enough reason for them to even be chasing him through the city like that.
Right. They take
and
excessive
force. And they were saying, we're going to get you type of, chasing him and chased him right into the back of a vehicle where he was pretty much pronounced brain dead. And his mother, Karen, she is a fighter. I mean, I wish I had a mother like her, honestly, that she would not let her son's memory go down without a fight, without everybody knowing, what happened to him.
Oh, she should. Right.
You can look her up. Her name is Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Hilton, H-Y-L-T-O-N. It's not like Hilton, like Paris Hilton. It's Hilton with the Y. They're Jamaican.
Okay.
Yeah, and she confronted Mayor Bowser about her son. And they have actually, for the first time, held these officers accountable for his murder in D.C. for the first time. Okay.
Yes,
not to intervene, but we have from behind the wall. Oops, he just got away.
One
went down. We did have Stephen Biko from behind the wall, and I'm pretty sure he'll return the call, and we have to keep it moving. There. And you could continue. Go ahead, Black Power. We lost him, but we'll get him back. Black Power.
Yeah, so I wanted to play a clip concerning the D.C. Chief of Police, Newsom. Mm-hmm. Say he re-
what happens in this case? They don't. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The real issue is we have a vicious cycle of bad actors who do things, no accountability, and they end up back in the community. And the police officers, I guarantee you, when we lock up whoever did this, they will be no stranger to us. I promise you that. So I want us to make sure that we are reclaiming this community. And my hope is that as we do this, that this reverberates through our city, that this is what the response should look like. It should look like this, right? Because there are a lot of corners that I go to after a murder has occurred, and it's just me. It's just the officers. Or the people that are closest to the pain, right? That's when we get folks' attention, right? When you're closest to the pain, when you hear the gunshots in your community, that begs a different reaction versus it being someplace else and you just kind of happen to catch it on the news. This was real for some people, but it's been happening in communities all across our city, and I'm saying to you, enough is enough. I've been a police officer in this city for over 30 years. I've been born and raised right here in this city, started my patrol career right here in this district. And the way that we're going and the things that we're trying to do, we want to help people. Yes, we should. But you cannot coddle violent criminals. You cannot. You cannot treat violent criminals who are out here making communities unsafe for you, for your loved ones, for me, for my loved ones. They might not want a job. They might not. They might not need services. What they may require is to be off of our streets because they're making it unsafe for us. And if that's what it requires, then that's what it requires. And we have to own that. We have to own it because if not, we see more of this. We see more of this in our communities. And then what happens? When someone's shot, people are outraged by it. I'm outraged every time. Every those 922, a lot of those 198 that died of that, I've stood over many of those.
What do we say? He resigned, or he moved out immediately after this compelling speech, I believe. What is the opinion of his duties, 30 years in that community?
They have no obligation or commitment to helping the citizens, the original inhabitants of the district, the original inhabitants of Maryland, D.C., Virginia, from Ben Banneker. That digs right down into it. The man who laid out Washington, a black man, a black scientist, a black surveying engineer, a black inventor, that George Washington, Tom Jefferson, and all those crackers they call founding fathers could not hold the jockstrap, nor could they tie the shoelaces of Benjamin Banneker. They have always suppressed our genius, stolen our patents, and there are many black men. As a black man took over behind Chief Newsom, they don't have the knack for the job, but they are just so super brilliant with a God complex. They have all of the answers. When they're supposed to get a nurse's assistance for mental health patients, a counselor for the mental health patient, a doctor for the mental health patients. It's a part of their training. There are 40% of those being executed by armed and uniformed police officers paid by taxpayers' money. 40% of those are mental health cases, mental health patients, mental health something dealing with a medication or a situation that not normal, that the officer does not take the option of calling a medical assistance or a counselor. They pull their service weapon, as you see, and execute. And this is something that we have to address. There's no one levitating from the skies. There's no help coming from the manna and the quail. We have to do this ourselves, brother and sister. So we want to take some strong looks at what the options to black people from D.C. to Los Angeles in remedying the situation of police execution and police homicide in the black community can be alleviated. It can be eliminated. But we have to use our self-determination. We have to use the spirit of our ancestors to check them in the midst of their iniquities. Black power.
Black power. And we actually have a clip of Iman at the time of with Kyron Hilton's family. And let's hear it.
Good afternoon. I am Sheikh Imam Akbar. I am the national spokesman for the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And we got the information from the Fred Hampton Gun Club. Brother Talvin Tooney contacted me, as well as I contacted Black Lawyers for Justice. I am a national investigator for some of the cases for the Black Lawyers for Justice. And we began looking at a vehicular homicide that has been orchestrated by an officer, by an MPD officer here in the District of Columbia, a form of isolated, systemic type of isolation and racism in the streets of the district. Frequently, I find cases from 7D, 4D, from 5D, that three or four white men pursuing one young black man. And we find that this to be highly inordinate. It's not an ordinary set of circumstances. It's a highly exaggerated set of circumstances to just a young guy maybe just riding his moped, or a group of young men on mopeds, legislation about buying gas for young men in a moped. And then we stretch back to the case of Shakisha Johnson on Green Street, and the fire, many of you knew before to know about the firecracker incident when Chief Ramsey, and from Ramsey to Lanier, and now Newsom is here, and the Mayor Brown is here, but they're showing very low sensitivity for actually getting into the offices and looking at what is actually taking place on the street. In the Alliance of Concerned Men, I cross cultural chain. We're trained on some of the youth divisions here in the district. where Randy absconded this unit here in the district for 7 years, the return of runaway young men and women, 12 to 21. So my experience is extensive. That's 50 years of a chaplain in the city. And see, all my Barbara's father was executed on West Virginia Avenue, same system. Mr. Brown was executed over some tools. Officer shot him down. And as you know, there are far too many cases and less of the concern from the administrators to people who have ability to make the change at the city council level, at the, even the ANC level, can influence and change the government, change the legislation, whether it's judicial or legislative. You have to bring full impact of influence to stop the police brutality here in the District of Columbia. And we are well organized against this, and we will be, you'll see us in the future doing more to bring an end to police brutality. And it's a subtle form of white nationalism, and it could go all the way as high as Donald Trump being really like a grand wizard influencing many cities, all of the cities, especially Washington, D.C., of all of this white nationalism and the police brutality directly, systemically and systematically directed at the black youth, the black man, the black woman. First time in history, the parents have been beaten, pepper sprayed and maced. The mother pepper sprayed and maced and beaten. Father arrested. This is historical, especially here in the District of Columbia, as Attorney Shabazz alluded to earlier, the attack of the station and all of that. You saw them level the station over in Minneapolis, and then the world cried for justice. Well, right now we are taking justice, and we are using justice to what? Be in the form of something to aid and assist the ordinary person here in the District of Columbia. So,
can you tell us a little bit about Shigemon? What was happening that day?
Yes, we were at a press conference with the family of Karan Hilton, who was a vehicular homicide, is connected to the quitting of Chief Newsom. All of that's interrelated. They moved to protect Terrence Sutton.
Who muted me?
Was executed in the vehicular homicide. We were holding a press conference to bring attention to the police executions.
Yes.
In Washington. With that, we have Stephen in the background, but I just want you to know.
What did you say?
That, Brother Stephen, he was involved with someone
Rico.
In the case as well.
Okay.
Rico is with us. I want him to explain that we could get right back on the case of Karan Hilton and Terrence Tattoo Sutton and Antoine Gilmore and all of the other executions in Washington. We have a laundry list. Well, I don't want to forget our beloved brother, our chief of security operations, and he's behind the wall now. Our beloved brother, Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum and Black Power.
Wa
alaykum as-salam, D. Black Power, D. The reception is very bad in here, so the words that you may not be able to get, my aunt will convey those words to you. But I just wanted to remind us that not only are state and local police killing out people, you have police that are employed by the Pentagon. Police that are employed by the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, that are in Montgomery County killing black men. So we have to be mindful of that too. Not only is this on a state level, a citywide level, it is also in the higher echelons of government where assassinations are taking place in the black community at the behest of the U.S. government. We have to be mindful of these things. Let us not get it twisted. The hunt is on, and we are the prey. But as Khalid Abdul Muhammad told us, we have to stop allowing caskets to only roll in our communities when they kill us. This has to become reciprocal. When they take us out, we need to have units in place. And I know you're listening to me. I know you're recording what I'm saying. I want you to record this because I am tired. I'm tired of black bodies dropping at your hands. I'm tired of the way our babies are being treated at your institutions of learning. See, Howard University is not a historic black college, contrary to what we think. It has been brought into existence and financed by those who are enemies of our wives, and they put hand-picked house niggas in place to govern those institutions. So let's tell the truth. And this myth about celebrities coming out there supporting those children, that's a lie. Today, Brother Pete and numerous others have been out there every day since this happened. And not one goddamn celebrity showed up. So let's stop lying. Tell the people the truth. They deserve the truth. Debbie Allen, not showing up. Rashad, not showing up. Terrence Howard, not showing up. All of these are Howard University alumni. Puff Daddy ain't even showing up. Ain't none of these Howard University alumni showing up. None of them. And our babies are suffering in the cold at the hand of these draconian bastards. What kind of beast would starve a child out? What kind of beast would allow a child to live in deplorable conditions? While at the same time raping the purse strings of their parents, giving their parents the impression that these children are being taken care of. But now we see who the real devil is. Stop lying to the people. And I condemn the press. I condemn them to hell because they have watched this thing from day one and they only report what they have been told to report. And those damn police forces. That is the reason why it is imperative for us to have our own police forces in our communities trained by us to do what is in our people's best interest. That's how you stop the killing. That's how you stop the killing.
That's power.
They may be knocking on my cell door tomorrow telling me to pack my shit. I'm going back to the hole. I'm going back to the hole standing on principle. They could be in a comfortable cell doing nothing and saying nothing while people are continuing being mistreated, being killed off like we are livestock going for the slaughter. Now I'm telling you, from prison, from jail, we got a package coming to the students of Howard University. They're going to receive hats, they're going to receive clothes, they're going to receive clubs, they're going to receive socks, they're going to receive things that are necessary to keep them healthy and keep them well during this trial that they're undergoing. And that's coming from us. That's coming from the New Black Panther Party by way of the Ministry of Defense. See, we're not oblivious to what's going on out there. We have our finger on the pulse. Sister Janae has kept us abreast of what's going on out there. Brother Peter has kept us abreast. Imam Abdul Bilal has kept us abreast in terms of what's going on out there. They even trying to say that the children cannot receive home-cooked meals. That it's a health issue. Why is it a health issue to feed them, but it's not a health issue for them to be living in those deplorable conditions? Answer that one for me. Because it makes no sense to me. It sounds like a dialectical contradiction to me. You won't send the health department in there to shut the school down for what they're doing to those children, but you'll tell us that we can't feed them home-cooked meals. Nigga, please. The hell you think you're playing with? Now it's time for the entire black community, the entire black community, to put pressure on those entertainers who are Howard University alumni. Put pressure on them to speak up. Put pressure on them to do what is right and what is in the best interest of those children. Do right by them or we will boycott your ass.
Right on.
Sister, you had a wonderful idea last night when you said adopt a child. We ain't going to adopt a child at 50 cents a day. I'm calling on our community to adopt them at $5 a day. $5 a day. You can spend $5 on weed. You can spend $5 on alcohol. You mean to tell me that alcohol and weed is more important than children? Get in your pocket and help support our babies. They are the future of this movement. And what we do for them now will determine how they respond to us later.
That's right.
Some of our citizens will be taken to the guillotine, having their cut off, having their they were going to be able to in this study. So they are doomed to fail because they don't have a meeting with the college that is necessary for them to pass in the first damn place. They should boycott homecoming. Every black person in Washington, D.C. should boycott homecoming. Nobody show up. Nobody. The same way they were voted in, the community can get to a vote of no confidence and have the entire school system shut down. See, they rely on accreditation. Without funding, there is no
your mic is breaking up. You have to keep it still while you're speaking. You got to keep your mic still while you're speaking right now.
Can you hear me now?
Because she has a dance studio right here where I live, and she is going to have to answer personally. And we're going to hope to have footage of that because we need to put them on blast. Hollywood has so much connection with putting their names on stuff. So there are a lot of celebrities, Felicia Rashad as well as Danny Glover, who had support there. But these three individuals alone have resources that could have covered these kids since day one. So we're going to be exactly on top of that and find out why it's taking so long, over 2 weeks, for stigma of our black education to be treated in this fashion. So every time that he speaks, we got to take it seriously, because understand that he is somewhere that we are not, and we have to think about what we're doing to mobilize the help that's needed. More importantly, follow the instructions of what's given. Doesn't matter where it's coming from. We got to be proactive, black family, no matter what the situation is. For Howard students, this week we are going to apply the pressure as much as possible to make sure that those kids don't stay there another week. And it won't be over from there. Boycotting Howard should just be a small smidgen of what we should do. But more importantly, in the long run, we want to hold Wayne Fredericks, the president, and Kamala Harris, our vice president. These two, vice president of the United States, these two alone should be the poster child of neglect for these students. Stay tuned, black family, as Imam and Queen Janae are out there continuing to be with the students. We hope by next week we'll be able to hear from them directly and how atrocious, and we need to apologize as a nation of how we failed these students. But from this point on, they will get what they ask for and much, much more. We're going to make sure as Black Panther family to take care of the small things, so that way the bigger things won't be a challenge. Black power?
Black power, black power. That's right, Sister Mello. And we did plan on going to Howard campus tonight, but as I said earlier, it's raining. And we just couldn't get out in the rain tonight to do the show. But we will get some students on the line next week to give us an update if they're still out there protesting. And if not, if they're still
not
finished protesting. So I'm going to get a quick update right now. Y'all take over the show. Go ahead. Let me get this update.
All right. Black power.
Black power.
All right. We're going to take a musical break and then come back. Before we do so, we want to send out the Cash Apps directly. If you like to support, especially with the food and the supplies needed for the rest of the week, please Cash App 77 Bakers, 77 B-A-K-E-R-S, capital, and Black Power Hour. This is straight direct to Queen Janae for purchasing and cooking the food. So that will be Black Power Hour and 77 Bakers. So put your Cash Apps up, guys. This is the easiest way to show your support if you cannot physically be there. 77 Bakers, $77 Bakers, and $BlackPowerHour. So by next week, we should have some more updates. And if they are still there, that'll be day 21, black family. So let's hope that won't be the case. But let's continue to support the eye of the world right now, because these kids deserve everything and much, much more in the end. Black power? So we are going to go
power,
to...
Black power, black power.
We're going to go to our musical selection.
Okay.
Did you want to say something before me?
We had a brother that was out there in the midst of it. I think he had something he wanted to raise as we go into it. Let me see if he wants to come before, after the music, if he has time. Brother Howard, you out of New Orleans. Did you have something for us before we go to the music? Or are you going to wait till after the music, Brother Howard? Let me see. Is that Brother Howard out on 504-504? Are you out there? Let me see. Brother Howard, I think it's 504. And 432, is that Brother Howard or... Sister Melody, one of them out there. 504-432. We'll come back to you after our musical selection. Black power, and you're taking
right
away now. Music. Black power. Black power.
Black power.
Black
and we'll get it in volume, volume on the left and right. Get a little volume on the left and right. Pain consumed these traps. Shot twice with her hands up. Police crushed him, but shot before she answered. One panther lost his life, the other ran for his. Scandalous up on these swaps as they kicked and beat her. Comprehension, she was beyond trying to hold on to life. She thought she lived with no arm. That's what it felt like. Got to the hospital, I felt tight. She moved the room. The room she could tell by the light. Handcuffed tight to the bed. He was skin in bed. The guns to her head. Every word she got hit. We shot the truth for his ass. Put mace in her eyes, threatened to blast her. Her mind raced till things got still. Opened her eyes, realized she's next to her best friend who got killed. She got children, they told her. That's what she would be next. First mixed with anger, survival with the reflex. They lied and denied. Business from a lawyer. But she was building and they tried to destroy her. It wasn't for the German nurse, they would have served the worst. I read the Christian story, knew that it deserved the first. I wonder what would happen if that would have been me. All of this said we could be free.
Thinking about Asada Shakur, powerful woman. Her spirit lives on, and we must continue the fight because there are many of us that are going through it as we speak, and dialogue is no longer an option, Black family. So now we're going to enter our second hour, and we're going to take you all the way to California. So we have one more musical piece, and before we do so, we want to head back to Iman Shikakbar, see if he has any intro or phone calls, if anybody wants to say or call in. Black Power?
Black Power, you can go right on with your musical selection and see if we can get it right in the center of the mic and try to get a little volume on the left and right and raise up on your next musical selection, Black Power.
Black Power? All right, so we're going to take it to Los Angeles, where we're going to go into the story of the current indictment of our Los Angeles City Councilman, Mark Ridley Thomas. Stay tuned. Black Power Radio.
Let me welcome everybody to the wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Like a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb ass can be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty and pimp be. On a mission for them greens. Lean, mean, money making machines serving beans. I've been in the game for 10 years making rap tunes. Ever since honeys was wearing tattoos. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamond shining, looking like a Rob Liberace. It's all good, from Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb, it's your city making pay. Throw up a finger, it's still the same way. Straight drifting down for California,
California.
L.A., I tell you, is a strange city, black family. If you can survive in L.A., you can survive anywhere. So here we're
right.
going to
black
go.
Power, black power, Sister Mello. Let me give you a quick update from Howard University. I just got an update from Brother Pete. Today he went and took some clothing, jackets, shoes, warm clothing for the students outside. They did have some problems with the tents rolling over with the windstorm. Basically, they really need some help. They still need help. They had food today. Thank God the community responded. Even though we didn't, you know, get to take them food today, we did take them clothing and other resources. Brother Pete said they basically now we got to switch gears and change hats. They need feminine hygiene supplies, tampons, maxi pads, taking care of themselves. They even need condoms. Okay, let's just keep it real. I didn't see any of those out there. So anybody that is actively engaged, because these type of situations, putting kids in tents with four or five different other students, let's just keep it real. They things are gonna happen. So if y'all want a whole generation of Howard babies to be prevented, I think you need to bring them some things, you know, to encourage them to do the right thing by being in closed corners with people they may not have be in contact with on the regular. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like they are children. They are adults, young adults, consenting, but they did ask for some condoms at one point. So,
Black Power, this is a pattern
right.
coming out. So, baby,
right.
please hold on. We want to get the main things out there first, the feminine hygiene products, toiletries, basic necessities, the condoms, okay, I understand, but baby,
they
please hold out. God bless him. But we want to make sure Black family continue to support those out there. Again, Cash App 77 Bakers, 77 BAKERS, and hash $ Black Power Hour. That's Black Power Hour for the food and supplies necessary that will go straight to the students, ASAP Rocky. So let's continue to support the efforts of Iman Sheikh Akbar and Queen Mama Janae, holding it down as we continue to hold the people accountable and ask them what's going on, stepping in their place, right? All right, Black family, that's the name of the game. That's what we do here, Black Power Radio, New Black Panther Party. All right, so
Black
if
power.
We have any Black Power, thank you so much for the updates. And at the end of the show, we'll give that information again for those who want to support. Continue to be a vital source and a member by supporting the efforts that are being done. All right, so now we are going to take us to California, in the city of fabulous Los Angeles. And the updates currently that happened in the last couple of weeks, if you have been living under a rock, here we have one of the historic indictments of one of the top career politicians, Mark Ridley Thomas, that have been indicted on 20 counts, Black family, 20 counts. This is heavy, so the feds are not playing with this one. So let's take a look at the current news happening here in Los Angeles.
The LA City Council has suspended Mark Ridley Thomas over his indictment on federal corruption charges. A few hours later, the councilman entered a not guilty plea. KCAL9's Lori Perez has more. Mark Ridley Thomas and Marilyn Flynn, a former dean at USC School of Social Work, are co-defendants in a 20-count federal bribery and conspiracy case. Prosecutors say Ridley Thomas, while he was a county supervisor, funneled millions of dollars in county contracts to USC, and in exchange, Flynn hired Ridley Thomas's son. He pled not guilty on a remote video hookup Wednesday. As he faces this legal battle, he is also fighting for his political life.
Thank you. For the record, that will be 11 ayes and 3 noes. This item is adopted forthwith.
Ridley Thomas's life of public service stalled Wednesday as the LA City Council voted to suspend him. It was not without objection. His attorney said it was unlawful because the allegations stem from before his time on the council. Councilmember Bob Blumenfeld acknowledged it was a painful vote.
He is someone who I think has done a tremendous amount of good for this city and this county. So it's painful because these accusations are also very serious.
That's why some members say the suspension will really hurt the 200,000 residents of the 10th District, leaving them without representation. It's unclear yet if council will appoint someone or hold a special election.
By taking this action today, we disenfranchise them totally. Whether we appoint someone at some point or do an election, right now we are disenfranchising people.
Late this afternoon, the L.A. comptroller said he would be terminating Ridley Thomas's pay following the suspension. City council members earn nearly $224,000 a year. Outside the federal courthouse in downtown Los Angeles, I'm Lori Perez, KCAL 9 News.
Well, there you have it, ladies, ladies and gentlemen. They have currently suspended his position from his colleagues, as you heard. And L.A. City, if you don't know the makeup of L.A. City, it is actually ran by 15 councilmen. So Mark Ridley Thomas was over the 10th district, and that district is actually where Leimert Park is located. Leimert Park, historical Black city in California and probably the world, is currently without a council supervisor. Is currently without a resource, without a city councilman. Now, currently, the next contender to take over District 10 would be a woman named Grace Yu. She's a Asian contender that lost out in the last election, last name Y-O-O. And right now, as far as the Black community is concerned in District 10, I don't think that there will be any more progress concerning whether Mark Ridley Thomas was there or not. So this is personal because Mark Riley Thomas, I've known him for many years, as well as Marquise Harris Dawson, who is another city councilman. And between the both of them, they have garnished at least over $40 million in projects that are not completed. And this is something that I literally live in the districts that this is happening in. And so this has to be where accountability meets the road. When this indictment was announced 2 weeks ago, this is maybe a week ago, October 20th, that is when everything stood still because we had served an arrest warrant on September 21st for four individuals. The first one was Kathleen Austria. Kathleen Austria is the county treasurer, which means that she has control over $40 billion of county funding. This was before COVID. After COVID, the county has doubled and almost $79 billion of taxes that they have to handle. And who handles these $79 billion in taxes, Black family? It's only five people that represent these districts in the county of Los Angeles. This is where in 2018, Mark Riley Thomas was in that position. And that is a big position. When you have access to billions of dollars in that magnitude, you have two choices. Either you work for the people and make sure that that funding goes where it's supposed to fix the streets, to build schools, especially help Black businesses, because they always talk. A lot of these council meetings talk about the Black community as if, you know, we're a science project. So there's always talking about data. They're always talking about how Black people are the highest rate of violence, of homelessness, you name it. We are always a hot topic at these council meetings. But what the problem is, Black family, is that we are not present most of these council meetings. And since 2013, November 2012 actually was my first Board of Supervisors hearing that I went to. And this is where I spoke with Mark Riley Thomas since day one. And he knew our program of youth. We work with homeless youth in Skid Row, which is the homeless capital of the world. So if you don't know about Skid Row, it is a visible third world country. And believe me, Black family, this is where LA City gets most of its money from. Because in Skid Row, they have a lot of pharmacies. So Big Pharma is making a boatload down there. There's open drug use, meth, heroin, coke. You could find anything down there. But what a lot of people don't know about Skid Row is that a lot of the people that are in the tents in that particular area are not really homeless. A lot of them are actually buying the block. They're controlling the money and the drugs going down there. So believe you me, it's an open market that the LA City Council knows very well. But what do they do about it? Do they really put the millions of dollars of federal funding that comes here to house the homeless? No. But what they would do, people like Mark Riley Thomas, they would go on television, they would always do a press conference, put their name on buildings. Just recently, Mark Riley Thomas and his wife, Avis, just opened a healthcare center in the heart of South LA. Now, this healthcare center should have been built a long time ago, but it's Mark Riley Thomas's project, so he takes however he likes. And now when it comes up, we still have a high rate of mental health issues. We still have a high rate of homelessness. And if the right people, if Black organizations stood and actually attended these meetings, they will be well informed on where the money is going. But because Black family, the truth of the matter is, these city council meetings, as well as a lot of parent conference meetings in schools, are not well attended by the Black families. And so we got to do better. And that's why we say politics and knowing the law, knowing your state codes. We have mentioned that several times, and we will always keep mentioning it. Doesn't matter how great we think we are, what position we may be in. If you don't know your local governance, you are trapped. You are a prisoner. You are literally walking blind Because what that says is that I don't care to know who is controlling the way I live. These politicians are the power. Remember, this is how America has created this country. With these forefathers, they created a government where a group of people, well-to-do, established landowners, some of them had college degrees, but they were the affluent population that made the decisions for the whole entire nation. And since 1776, this is where we are now. We have uplifted these politicians as if they're rock stars, which is why they have a secret immunity, just like the police. So anytime they misappropriate funding to the taxpayer, they are immune, Black family. And this is nationwide. This is why you have to look into your state laws. Every politician, Congress especially, they are immune to lawsuits or complaints. But when it comes to a federal investigation, all that goes is thrown out the window, which is what's happening right now in the case of Mark Riley Thomas. Now, currently, they stated that Marilyn Flynn, who is the USC dean, that he was given these millions of dollars of contracts. They were also overseen by a county council, which name is Mary Conway Wickham. Mary Wickham is the county attorney, so to speak. So therefore, between Kathleen Austria, Mary Wickham, and Mark Riley Thomas, he would not have access to any of these contracts unless these two women overseen them. Believe you me, they're not going to give a Black man nothing unless it goes through the man 100 times before it comes down to us. But in this case, he had too much access to this money. And I personally, we requested $15,000 in 2013, which we thought was something simple for a youth facility for homelessness. And it turned into 5 years, Black family. That one day of requesting turned into 5 years. So as I mentioned before, Black organizations who are trying to apply the right way are being discriminated against. But we must not give up. So if you are a Black organization and you're planning on starting your own nonprofit or want to start your own profit business, always look to who is the state governor, the Secretary of State, is the first place you need to start. And the easiest way to start your own mission is through something called an LLC, which is a limited liability company. This is the quickest way where you can actually fill out your profit paperwork, send it to the state. Usually it shouldn't be more than $35, $40. And then you mail in your bylaws and your mission statement with it, and you should be able to have your own organization in no time. Usually some processes like this took 2 years minimum. I remember maybe 20 years ago that you had to have like a five-year track record before you were able to apply. So a lot of things have changed over the years that made it much easier for Black men and women to really start their own business or nonprofit if they choose to. But the fact remains, you still have to go through a process of your state governance or your local governance, whoever jurisdiction you live in, and you have to go through them. And it really is about who you know. It's not about what is merit, who deserves this funding, what areas need the funding. If this is the way that we should have had our taxes over, is to have a politician give the funding where our taxes should be going. But understand, Black family, the taxes that we pay right now in the billions, it is a personal piggy bank for these politicians, no matter how we look at it. So you have two choices. You could either learn and follow the money, or you can be sheep and just die. You have two choices. I'd rather you take the first choice, but if you decide to turn a blind eye to your local governance and follow where your taxes are going, inevitably telling your child that you don't need to question how you live. And understand, Black family, that's the most damaging thing that we can tell the future. A Black child has to input and understand that this is not the way the world is supposed to be. And the only way they can do that is if they see that we actually try to make the changes. You never, ever go with the grain if the grain is not working. There's always a way, Black family, that God, who created us, gave us the mindset to decipher the BS of white supremacy. But we have been indoctrinated for so long, Black family, that we have lost our own selves. So now is the season right now where we have to get things back together, because here in L.A., just like Shaky Mom and Queen Mama Janae is holding down Washington, D.C. at Howard, we're holding down L.A. right here. And as a minister of justice, as I said before, this is something justice is taking very seriously. We have to know the laws. And here in Los Angeles, while we look for the end updates for this indictment, the current hearing for Mark Riley Thomas will be December 14th, and that will be at the Edward Royal Ball Federal Building. Most likely he might be doing another virtual appearance, which the court system has made it much, much easier for you to attend court without being there in person. But inevitable, the people that have to be brought to justice or even be publicized are these two women, Kathleen Austria and Mary Wickham, who have given Mark the contracts. There is no news. It is silence of the lambs over here concerning these women. These women that live in the suburbs. Mary Wickham, she lives in Altadena, and she lives in a nice mansion. She just paid herself. She got out of retirement. And she also is not only the county attorney for Los Angeles, she is also the commissioner for the attorneys of Stanley Moss Courthouse, which is the largest and the main courthouse for Los Angeles. It's located in downtown L.A. This woman, for 7 years, have not only denied funding to many Black families, but she used to work for the Department of Children and Family Services. From 2005 to about 2011, I believe, maybe 6 years or so. And Department of Children and Family, Black Family, is also like Child Protective Services, and this is another medium where they would snatch Black babies, low-income families, and put them in the system, because each child that they take in the system is at least $150,000 federal dollars. And we can thank Hillary and Bill Clinton for that with the Adoption and Safe Families Act that they passed in 1994, along with the crime bill that, you know, criminalized Black men nationwide. So these bills that the Clintons signed really affected the Black community to this day, because DCFS here is a big moneymaker for the county. It takes a lot of federal funding, and this is why we got to stop it in its tracks. We must stop these politicians from continuing to poverty pimp us. And the only way we can do it is a few steps. Now, we have spoken about a notice of discrimination not too long ago. This is a notice that we have drafted, the New Black Panther Party drafted particularly to hold the people who have assaulted or who have wrongfully convicted our innocent Black brothers and sisters, that you serve the person who have violated your rights with this notice of discrimination. And a notice of discrimination is a simple one-page document, and it states who violated your rights. You put the name of the violator. Most likely it would either be an officer, or if you have a case or a hearing, it would be a judge. It could be a public defender. It could be a district attorney. In Biko's case, we are going to serve all of them a notice of discrimination as we go along, because right now the people who wrongfully convicted Brother Biko have to be held accountable on paper. And Black family, you must not be afraid of sending these notices out when you start these cases. So coming up in the next couple of weeks, we definitely want people to come call in with current cases and the help that they need. And we must stand forth with the right documents. So record keeping is very important. And that is actually why here in Los Angeles, the work that we have done, particularly since 2013, the advocacy focusing on homelessness, which is the number one issue here, housing, affordable housing, nationwide, it's still going to be a crisis. So even though Mark Lee Thomas was indicted, Black family, there's still two more people that have to go. Now, who's next? That's the question. Every state has someone that needs to be indicted. Now, what does that indictment look like? Indictment is something that you, as a citizen, can do on your own. You can start the steps of holding them accountable. And this is why we will make available the notice of discrimination form. This is your first line of defense as you make on record and have a paper trail of the offender. The white supremacist must be on record, Black family. They must be on record because they have records of us without our knowledge. They are watching everything that we do. They know us better than we know ourselves. But they are going to be stopped in their tracks this season. And so the indictment with Mark is a plus, but still, he is a Black man. And he was taken the downfall for the white men and women that were part of this contracting through USC. And what is even more damaging, Black family, is that USC has, Marilyn Flynn has actually discriminated against Black women who wanted to become caseworkers through the very same school that Mark Curley Thomas paid $100,000 to get a degree for his son, Sebastian. Now, it's very ironic that Marilyn Flynn, who would discriminate against Black caseworkers, would uplift the white caseworkers and the Latino caseworkers. And this is something that we have on record. So it's very surprising to see that Marilyn Flynn, we have not seen any footage of her yet because on the news, the internet, and other sources, they label her as dead. She has passed away. And this is the only reliable source that's connected to USC. And we'll actually send the link. Where you can actually read the obituary on Mary Louise Flynn. And people are saying, well, you know, she can't be dead because, you know, the feds, they won't prosecute a dead woman. But we haven't heard from her yet. And she wasn't at the virtual hearing where Mark appeared October 20th. So, Black family, we're going to follow this story, and I'll give you more updates as to what's happening this week with the city council. The county board of supervisors, the position that Mark was in, when these contracts were being held, had made a decision to have an independent investigation on Mark. And the person who is more volunteering to do that is Holly Mitchell. Holly Mitchell is the woman that is actually taking over Mark's old position. So it's very ironic. This is the area that I live in. And I can tell you now, Holly Mitchell is no different than Mark Ridley Thomas, because the two white women that I just mentioned, Kathleen Austria and Mary Wickham, they currently work for Holly Mitchell. So this Black woman who never really did anything for Blacks in the past is currently harboring these two fugitives. That's really the short end of it. This is why we need to have national attention, Black family, on these two people. Doesn't matter what state you're in. I want you to Google Kathleen Austria, first name, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, last name Austria, like the country, A-U-S-T-R-I-A. And when you Google her, you'll see that she is currently the chief of liaison for Holly Mitchell. You can go on Holly Mitchell's website, which is Team Mitchell, and look under staff, and there you see Kathleen Austria smiling as if, you know, the cat that ate the canary. And the second name is Mary Conway Wickham. First name, Mary, M-A-R-Y, middle name, C, Conway, and last name, Wickham, W-I-C-K-H-A-M, Wickham. And it's very important that as we follow the indictment with Mark Willie Thomas, that these two women have to be brought to light. How? When? Black family? That's yet to be told. But believe you me, just like the celebrities that we're going to be pressing for Howard students, is the arrest of Conway Wickham and Kathleen Austria. This has to stop. And the only way we can hold them accountable, Black family, is if you know their names. Know your enemies' names. Because they and them is not going to cut it this season. If you don't know them by name, then they are given permission to continue to oppress us. And I know that's not what we want, Black family. So let's each of us do our part from where we are. And we are 175,000 deep, nationwide, sprinkled everywhere. But we have to start doing our part of intelligizing our enemy and knowing their bullshit when they see it. Is that right, Black family? So I appreciate you listening to this section of LA politics and how this goes down here. We'll tell the tale nationwide for Black politics. Now let's go into what is politics. Politics is power. Doesn't matter what color they are. Has it really benefited Black men? There are 9 objectives in the last hour that we'll go over. And we're going to take another musical break. In the meantime, want to see if there's any calls coming in. Sheikh Iman, Sister Janae, before we go into our next segment.
We have a call at 681. I'm not sure of the 681 being from I'm not sure if it's California with Warrior Woman or if it's West Virginia, but we'll try the 681 caller. There's a 681-252. 681-252 is live on Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Black Power.
681. They may not realize we're talking to them. At 681-252, you are live
Black Power.
On Black Power Radio.
Black Power, can
Black
you hear
Power.
Me?
It's West Virginia. Go ahead.
Yeah, West Virginia, your main man in the house. Black Power family, what's up, y'all? How's everybody?
Black Power.
Congratulations to the Sheikh Imam Akbar. You know what time it is. I told you the other day, I'm making a national call for all of the Panthers, whether you be Huey P. Newton Gun Club, whether it be Fred Hamp Gun Club, whether it be all of these different gun clubs, they all were born from the Panther. They had to be a Panther first. They had to learn the general orders. They had to learn 10-point platform. They had to learn how to be a Panther, how to pull the pants up and put your pants in your boots, and how to be a Panther, how to put what side to put your patches on and everything. And see, now that they're all grown up, now they all run away to all the different formations. And I would say to all the different formations, come on home. Come back home. Come back home and be a Panther. Come back where it started. This is where it started. Be a Panther. Be a Panther first. And I don't want to leave this out because I know a lot of people might be slipping on the fact that Ahmaud Arbery, his trial is coming up. And we don't want to let these gator hunting Ku Klux Klan white supremacists run him down and be forgotten about. Now that we got one out of the way, and that little slap on the wrist that they gave George Floyd's killer wasn't really enough. He should have had life. But I'm just saying, these other guys, they need to get more than a slap on the wrist. So we need to do some demonstrating and protesting on that behalf. And don't forget, $77Bakers, 77Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S, so that we can keep the train rolling. And, yeah, they're having a summit coming up there in Texas, and I was wondering if we might make a move on that, Sheik, you know, see what's going on. But that's a little bit too soon. I would just say let's just stay focused on the unity and the community and getting back into the
definitely
work.
Definitely we will definitely not be attending a summit in Texas.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't go no way, so I can only go where I'm taken. And I ain't been taking this, so we forget that one. Now, you know, Grandmaster Jay, he has his trial coming up pretty soon, isn't it? Like this week or so?
Yeah, he has an indictment as well. So that is this week. These are two big trials, Ahmaud Arbery and Grandmaster Jay. To follow.
Yeah, and we want to send the prayers out to Grandmaster Jay, too, because he was trying to recruit with Sheikh Imam Akbar. He was trying to be a Panther, you know? So that's what I'm saying. If a powerful leader like that can humble himself and come back to the beginning roots, because he started off a little bit too fast, as far as I'm concerned. You know, he started off as without the Panther. He needed to be a Panther first. He's smart enough to realize it, though. He realized that he needed to be a Panther, so he got right up as close as he could, didn't he, Akbar?
Yes, Akbar.
You cutting in and out.
I may have been away from the mic. I heard you say something, Black Lightning, but I may have missed the last part of it.
I was saying that Grandmaster Jay, he was trying to be a Sheikh Imam Akbar protege like myself, you know, even though he on an advanced level, even he wanted to put the Panther first, you know, put the Panther first. So if he could put the Panther first, I would say that all of the gun clubs that was under him should put the Panther first. And all of the clubs that are going to be in every organization all around the world need to put the Panther first and come on back to the table. I would just say come on back to the table. And don't forget, for our listening audience, $77Bakers, that way you can keep all of this stuff going, because we for one, gas is not free, and tolls are not free, and then all the great work we're doing down there at Howard University, you know, the food program's not free, and that's Black Power Hour for the food programs down there in D.C. with Sister Janae. Shout out to her, and well, just want to say I love y'all, Black Power. And keeping it strong, keeping it black, and I'm in it to win it like a Sheikh Imam Akbar, Lieutenant. Black power.
Black power, black power.
Black power.
Black trooper for the cause. That's black power. Yes, that is actually a true story. When Grandmaster Jay came to Washington and we organized a march on the White Supremacy House, he said he liked what he saw. He liked to recruit to that new Black Panther Party. And I always send arms, open arms, and embracing this brother and prayers out to our brother. We are homies, by the way. And he was born right there in Richmond, Virginia. He's migrated a little bit. But nevertheless, this is our brother, Grandmaster Jay. Some comment I've heard him abandon Grandmaster Jay, and I think it's a horrible thing. After really reviewing all that the Grandmaster Jay did and all that he was up against, I took a drink of water. Of course, I went and took a bite of sandwich. You know what I mean. But bottom line, we should always send love to Grandmaster Jay, and And brothers should not abandon Grandmaster J, no matter what you heard and all that agent provocateur stuff and all that counter-revolutionary stuff and all that agent behavior stuff. Throw it out the window and help our brother. That man is up against the system, about to be indicted with some years, and it's just that he was not really skilled and experienced as a protester, but he had taken up arms at a very timely moment to send a message to America that we have the right to bear arms, and that message should override everything else that has been said on Grandmaster J. We hope that you all will take that to heart and send a message to the system, a message to our brother that he has love here at Black Power Radio. He's been a guest several times here on Black Power Radio, and we will welcome him again. And all of those with goodwill towards black people are always welcome here at Black Power Radio, including Black Lightning. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power. And there's a clip that we'll play concerning Grandmaster J. Here we go.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We want black power. Black power.
A song KRS-One made on Grandmaster J, leader of In Fact, definitely to show our support, especially if you're black first and you want to support the cause. We should always, always support our brothers and sisters, especially those who are in the activism stage. So that, with that being said, we want to take a look at how we can continue on to build the militia. This is what Grandmaster J did excellently on camera. And this is what the world seen. And this is why he had to have been targeted, because when you see hundreds of black trained, organized, professional armed black men and women, that is always the biggest threat to white supremacy. So inevitably, we didn't know this was to come, but usually every great soldier is always targeted. So we must take heed and know all of the information and do not shun somebody, especially if they're in the forefront and bringing us together on foot. Dialogue is a dangerous thing, black family. So we must take heed on what we say and what we do and emulate the actions of our brothers who are temporarily stopped, and especially more so to take over of what our brothers and sisters who have fallen. That is the ancestors, that's their voice that we must always put in the forefront. So Grandmaster J, our supporter is with you, and we definitely will let you know the outcome, Black Power Radio, on how his trial is going as well. And the second thing we did mention as going to Ahmaud Arbery, his trial is the brothers that killed him are actually coming up in this week. So we will follow that as well and give you the update on next week concerning the outcome of the Ahmaud Arbery case, the young black man that was, you know, killed by so-called neighborhood watch people, as they like to call themselves. But we all know what that is. Any target that they can find, they will make sure to eliminate us, and we have to be prepared at all times. So the new Black Panther Party of self-defense, self-defense is the name of the game. We do not bother, threaten, harm anyone unless they are inflicting or causing harm to our rights, to our sane and our sanity. Black power.
Okay. Black power. Black power.
All right. So I wanted to wrap up this second hour. And what does it mean to be a Black Panther? We're going to go deep and dive into what the original objectives were for the new Black Panther Party. Now, this is going to require you, Black family, if you have a notebook, this is a time for you to take some notes because we are going to class. Now, the objections for the new Black Panther Party for self-defense has 9 local objectives. And when we start opening up membership, we have required for you to pay $99 membership for you to be serious about the movement that's happening. And this $99 is a yearly membership in which it says, I am one of the ones. That's really all it's saying. Your membership really doesn't mean much if you don't activate your purpose with that membership, right? It's like going to the gym, you pay a year in advance and you never go. That's a waste. So membership of a new Black Panther Party already had its rules and regulations and how we need to conduct ourselves as not only as a member of a very, very prestigious black enforcement party, but who we conduct ourselves morally as a black man and black woman in the community. And this requires no money, black family. It requires discipline and taking time and wisdom. So I'd like to go into maybe the first 5 objectives. It is a little lengthy, so I do want you to bear with me on this. But it's very important that we hear and that we know clearly what the 9 local objectives are in accordance with the new Black Panther Party, the 10-point program, and its platform. Now, Black Power means 3 important things. The first thing is to define what is in the best interest of the black people. The second one is to develop what is in the best interest of the black people. And the last and more important is to defend what is in the best interest of a black people. We, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, local chapter representing the National New Black Panther Party are currently organizing for the benefit of our people in whatever city you're in, whatever region you're in the nation, all over the world. To this end, we scientifically and consistently organize to redeem our people and ourselves. We recognize the necessity for Ojima, the collective work and responsibility. We strive to develop a Black Panther movement in the local area to develop complete constructive change amongst our people and to defend our rights. And I'm going to pause right there. This is half of to develop a Black Power movement is to defend our rights first and foremost. And as I mentioned, it's not just taking arms, Black family. You've got to be wise with information. You have to be armed with data so that way you can oppress them with paperwork, right? So as we defend ourselves physically, mentally, we have to be just as strong. As we continue, we as a local and national party strive for Black unity, Umoja, and Black solidarity with mosque and alike. When necessary, we must deal firmly and appropriately with Black leadership who betray our interests of the Black community or Black nation. And this, my friends, is what LA City Councilman or former LA City Councilman Mark Willie Thomas is going through. He is the Black face and Black leadership, but he is anything but Black power. We recognize our divine destiny and the need for divine guidance in our movement. We are not a religion. However, all faiths and spiritual practices are respected and studied from a Black liberation perspective. We support Black liberation and salvation theology as a necessary weapon to redeem ourselves after our enemy has destroyed us. We affirmed our Imani faith in the victory of our just cause, one God, one aim, one destiny. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey has stated. So this is our first point of how to develop a Black Power movement. This is one of nine objectives of the new Black Panther Party. Now we'll go to the second objective, which is to develop Black power through education. We, the new Black Panther Party, work to educate our people, particularly the youth. To that end, our movement educates and teaches the community at our weekly meetings, public forums, rallies, programs, town hall meetings, on the streets, in the schools, in the projects, on the radio, like Black Power Radio, through electronic and print media, and anywhere where knowledge needs to be forwarded. Most of our youth are currently in the public school system. For this reason, we will take an active role in school board affairs and general work in the regional Black public schools. We will struggle to turn the local school board back into the electoral hands of our people. Now, I'm going to stop right there. This is halfway through our second objective. Now, the school board's Black family is one of the most important places that we must be present. As I stated before, when I attended the county board meetings every Tuesday, at least over 300 times, I didn't see many of my people. I rarely saw amendments or data that they were dispelling for the betterment of the Black community. So the school boards is where they're teaching and indoctrinating our children into their supremacy. They want to make sure our kids are not entrepreneurs. They want to make sure that they're job seekers, meaning that our children will always have to work for the man. That is what the current school education nationwide is developed. There is no difference. They want to make sure that each student learns the same, They want to make sure that each student receives the same information. And then those who repeat the same things better, they become valedictorian. That is what school is. It's turning our children into robots. So if we have to subject to the current educational board, because nationwide we don't have yet, and I say yet with a strong emphasis, we don't have yet our own separate educational system. So we, unfortunately, Black family, have to be subjected in some areas. If you don't have a Marcus Garvey school, which we actually have one here in Los Angeles, and it's been pretty successful. But if we don't have our own Panther schools opposite of these mainstream schools, then we have to go to the school that is provided for our community. So while that is happening, Black family, as a Black mother and father, we must do diligence to visit and know the school board times, the parent-teacher conferences, when are they having it, and be there. One thing that I've noticed, especially in the schools around here, is that many of the Spanish families, they have dominated the school boards. They are there most of the time. They don't care what it is. They are there at that child's school for whatever the reason is. We must not only do the same, but we must do better, because our Black children's minds are more precious because they are the original man. And remember, Black family, we are the only race of people that have been stripped from our culture. So our Black children, 9 times out of 10, are not really developing what our ancestors have originally left for us. So until we're able to consistently have cultural schools that benefit and empower our Black children, we must attend these public school boards in order to overturn whatever nonsense they have for our child at that school. As we continue in development number 2, we also struggle to ensure that knowledge of self and history is taught in the local and regional school board systems. I'm going to repeat that line because that is very important. We also struggle to ensure the knowledge of self and history is taught in a local and regional school board. So we must remember where we came from, and we must continue to pass it along. Now, these school board systems that's in place, it is easier for us to transition them if we overtake them by not agreeing to the mainstream teachings that they have. But we must first mobilize our Black families to discipline ourselves to do that. So if you live in a neighborhood right now nationwide, I want you to gather on with the Black families that are in your neighborhood and take part in finding out when is the next school board meeting happening in my area, and make sure that you're there. And now everything is mostly virtual. It's easier for us to attend these school board meetings, but know what they're saying, know what's on the agenda, and be a part of it. Be an active part of the school board agendas, because then you can catch something before it becomes a mandated lesson. As we continue, develop in 2, we strive for the knowledge to compete with the best in civilization. Education also includes a knowledge of better diet and health practices. A proper education enables us to define, thereby develop and define what is in our Black self-interest, giving us Kujula Gilia self-determination. I butchered that name, Black family, and I do apologize. Kujichagulia. If someone can please correct me on that, please let me know, which stands for self-determination. C.5 on national.
Kujichagulia, I think it's better. May not be perfect either. Kujichagulia.
Okay. Which means self-determination. And these are also the points that are Kwanzaa holiday. All right. So now we're moving on to number 3. To develop and define Black economic power. So the first point was Black Power Movement. The second was education, and now we're into economics. We struggle to promote and develop a Black economy. We must control the money that flows in our community. We must own and control the businesses in our community. We struggle for Black-owned stores, banks, supermarkets, laundromats, hotels, cab companies, or Uber, beauty supply shops, retail outlets, restaurants, shopping centers, and all alike. We must, and I repeat, we must establish trade with ourselves and the motherland Africa and the nations of the earth. So a lot of African relations must be in the forefront, Black family. This is our original place. And there are many movements that are happening as well as we speak. But we must come together so we can share what we are doing to really engraft and build our Africa town where we stand, which is our land. Continuing, we must buy Black as often as possible and cease unnecessary spending with non-Black owned businesses. And this is why many of outsiders come to the hood, so to speak, unquote, because that's where we have the strongest spending dollars. And Sheikin Mom was mentioning that many times before to boycott our billions. Boycott our billions. Do not bank with these non-Black banks. Create our own system of economy without spending it at all with the others. And it's easier said than done. We know. But as we said before, it cannot be a few of us to do that. It must be all of us to simultaneously do this action and really focus on the Black-owned, Black community products. And we, Black businesses, we got to say that as well. We have to have excellent products and services for us to continue to patron each other. It's one thing, and there's a lot of groups that say you got to, you know, buy Black-owned or purchase Black-owned, service Black-owned. But sometimes, you know, a lot of our businesses, we don't have the greatest service. And sometimes we say, hey, well, why don't we continue to use Black? We have to be excellent in everything that we do, Black family. Customer service is number one. When a customer, it doesn't matter what it is, does not receive excellent service, they are not going to return. So we have to show ourselves how we transact with each other, how we treat each other, how if we have a complaint, how we rectify the complaint, not with an attitude, but with grace and with mercy and with diligence, and handle and correct each other, because all we have is each other. So Black businesses, if you have a business currently, I encourage you to make sure your customer service on all levels is on point, that your products, whatever you're selling, that is fresh, that is good quality, and that we are able to trade and make our own stuff. This is how we will grow our economy. And before you know it, we don't need any other culture, any other race of people to buy from. No matter where they set up their shop, we don't have to use it. Right, Bart? We shun exploitation regardless of race of the exploiter. We must remove the foreign economic bloodsuckers, quote unquote, from our community. Also, poverty pips from our community. We support Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics. Please see point three on our national 10-point program. All right, so that concludes our third. See what time we have. Okay. Our third local objective. Now we are going to move to objective number four. And after objective number four, I'm going to take a pause and have any comments from co-hosts as well or any calls to anybody who's listening who have any questions or have any additional comments. All right. So number four objective is to develop and defend Black political power. We recognize the reality of politics as being a process that controls the distribution of resources in the city and our community. We build the city, region, and country, and we are currently forced to pay taxes. Now, I'm going to pause right there. Taxes is one of the things, Black family, that if we simultaneously nationwide, starting tomorrow, said, you know what, I'm not paying any more taxes, and we collectively say, I don't want to pay any more taxes. And I'm not talking about the taxes that they take automatically out your check. There are certain taxes that you will have to pay separately that you can just withhold. And if that tax, whether it's a lien or anything, that you can withhold and say, I refuse to pay it, they cannot arrest everybody. But this has to be planned out where everyone's solidarity is ready and say, we pick a time and a date, and on our next tax cycle or whenever they're taking our taxes, we are going to protest, or we're going to write a letter, or we're just going to let them know we're not paying these taxes. We can start doing that because taxes are a big portion of why these politicians are using it as their own personal piggy bank, right? And as we go back to the indictment with Mark Ridley Thomas, this is exactly what is happening. We've built the city and region, and we currently are forced to pay taxes. To that end, we, the new Black Panther Party, engage in political process to ensure proper use of our community's tax dollars and other dollars that were stolen by whites, by others, by us politically Black nationals, means to control the politics and the politicians in our community. Malcolm X said, we shall be active in the affairs of politics and the politicians in our national government, which impact our people. We will deal with the local city council, regional governments, and the school boards. We shall back strong Black candidates when they meet the Black agenda test requirement. I'm going to stop right there. We're actually halfway through local objective number 4. States here that we shall be active in the affairs of politics in the district, and we will deal with local regional governments and boards. We shall build back strong Black candidates when they meet the Black agenda. This has not happened yet, Black family. Name me one politician that we can name to this day, starting with the Congressional Black Caucus, that has met the agenda for the Black people. What is our agenda? They're discussing it right now. One of the main things, reparations. This committee that has been created and actually is in the state of California, that's supposed to be the talking head for the whole nation, which I don't agree with that, because the nine people that were picked for this reparation committee, which is about, I think it's in its sixth or seventh month, it's still fairly new committee. These are nine people that are dead weight in the Black community. They are just sitting there talking about ideas and theories and what should have, could have been. They are not actual mobility movers. They're not moving anything. So this committee is not really helping even the simple cause of reparations, which is on top of the list. Until we get what was stolen back from us, we will always have to ask. And there's no more asking. This is not the season of asking. This is where you're going to see the tables are turning, Black family. But are we ready to receive the change? That is the million-dollar question. If the government crumbled tomorrow, are we ready to take over? So we must, Black family, get ready. Stay ready so we don't have to run and get ready when the time comes. All right, as we continue, we will deal with local – no, I'm sorry, I read that already. All Black politicians who betray the people must be dealt with. Oh, I love this one. And we already know what's happening in L.A. I don't have to repeat it, but this rings true to power. You had a black politician that was repeatedly raping and robbing the people right before our very eyes. And so how are they dealt with? An indictment, black family, however it comes, however it comes. And so we'll continue to make sure that our black politicians will be held accountable. This is only the beginning. As we continue, we demand full self-determination for particularly after having built the city and the nation. Self-determination today is denied because of blatant racism. We struggle to establish our own provisional government in unity and with other black organizations. In order to take control of our communities and in preparation for our own government soon to come, we advocate political alliances with all African black organizations that are uncompromising in the struggle for liberation. We also will organize with the other oppressed people of color. The New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is all black, non-integrationist. And that ends the first four of the nine local objectives for the New Black Panther Party. Now, I think I should finish up, and that should bring us to the end, near the end of the hour, where we'll do our wrap-up and closing comments. So if you are just tuning in, we are currently reading the nine local objectives of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We have just covered the first four objectives. The first one was to develop a black power movement. The second was to develop black power through education. The third is to develop and defend black economic power. And the fourth was to develop and defend black political power, which is us. We are the power in politics this season. Now we're going to continue to number five, to develop and enforce accountability in law enforcement and the criminal justice system. And this, black family, where this government is making hand over foot money by locking us up. And Brother Biko can attest to that as we speak, where innocent man can easily lose and get his rights violated in a split second on Juneteenth out of all days. We respect the police in our community who show proper and respect for our community. We respect those in authority as long as they respect us. God alone is our master. We, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, mobilize and organize for an end to the police brutality and misconduct. We demand the police in our community and elsewhere respect the human rights of our people and their constitutional rights. We call on the black police officers to recognize that they are black men and women first and police officers second. Now, I'm going to pause right there because this is where many of our black police officers forgot that they are black first. We have a ton of that here in California, ladies and gentlemen. Our local police, Los Angeles Police Department, you have Chief Michael Moore and the LAPD, who is black chief. They are clueless when it comes to black rights. They may have been born and raised in the same hood that we live in. But once they take that oath, black family, that oath in law enforcement is a rendition of slave catchers. We must understand the history of police. They are leftovers from slave catchers, which was an official group. There was an official title. When the height of slavery, these men were elected by their local town to catch random black people who they saw roaming about, making sure that they return to their master, make sure that they have their papers, right? Doesn't matter if they were free or not. If you were black and roaming, you're going back to somebody. This is what the police morphed into. So why in 2021, and I'm speaking mostly to black militia experience, whether you're Muslim, Christian, whatever, if you're black first and you are a police officer, that, my friend, is a conflicting issue. Because the history, as we know, the Fraternal Order of Police, which I am a policy analyst for, does not have any iota to support, to respect, and to honor the black man in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't matter what uniform you got. If you got sheriff, Los Angeles sheriff, and the sheriff county is usually the most powerful law enforcement in every state. The sheriff has more power than your governor, black family. Understand the power they have. And if you are a racist state where you uphold slavery in the highest powers, such as Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, and Louisiana. These 11 states didn't even recognize Lincoln because they hated the emancipation of their property so much. So the sheriff in these states, black family, are harsher to black men, where many of us turn up missing without any recognition, as we saw in the case of Jelani Day, the 25-year-old black man that was found in a river, right? Of a town of white supremacists where the black family wasn't even notified, where his organs were missing, okay? So they have no obligation in law enforcement to respect the black man. So keep that in mind. As we continue, we call on black police officers to recognize they are black first. Okay, we read that. We strive for the community police review boards and legal power to seek indictments, punish, and discipline rogue police officers. And this is something, unfortunately, if you violate our rights and you're a black police officer, you're going to get twice as much trouble, spiritually and physically, because you yourself should not even forget where you came from, sir. Now, there was a recent report lately of a black police chief who resigned, and you hear many of the internal racial discrimination within the department. So when you have a black police chief that resigns and, you know, is going on media and saying, you know, there's too much violence happening here, you know, we got to do something or I'm out of here, or whatever their speech may be, the purpose of them putting on that uniform is to so-called, I guess, try to relate to the black community, but understand that they're not in control. So when they are talking about there's too much violence here and you put on that uniform, you are deceiving yourself, black officer. Why are you complaining about racial discrimination in a department that once was created to catch people like you walking without your papers? Does it make sense? So black law enforcement, if you want to complain about racial discrimination in the department, find another job. Simple as that. You cannot change history. And what I notice when I always try to relay to law enforcement, whatever case I be working in, sometimes I got to interact with law enforcement. And sometimes we have some free time, and I like to tell them the history of policing. Do you know what they do when I tell them about the history of slave catchers turning into police? They immediately turn off. They say, I don't want to hear it. Oh, that's they start, you know, huffing and puffing. They start walking away. Try it. Try it. If you ever encounter with the law enforcement, and if you know the history of slave catchers, just out of the blue, doesn't matter where you are, just say, hey, do you know the history of policing? See what their reaction would be, black family. I guarantee you they will dismiss and run away fast because they don't want to remind themselves of where they came from. We got to make sure that they know where they came from, which is why police is just as useful as an attorney. They are just there for show. But the real policing needs to come from us. And going back to Grandmaster Jay, he started and showed us a little bit of what could be of an organized black militia trained for self-defense, the name of the game. We are not threatening to anyone who's not threatening to us. As we continue, we will monitor and observe the police according to the law. We call for an immediate end to the surveillance cameras in the black community. We struggle to reform areas in our community or nation from negative behavior that the slave master and the descendants of the American way of life imposed on us. We believe in our divine and legal rights to self-defense after 400 plus years of abuse. The criminal justice system must be held accountable to the will of the people, not to a cruel ex-slave master that desires to see our people continuously incarcerated. Of course, I work in the jails and the prisons where many great brothers and sisters are now locked up. We demand immediate freedom from all political prisoners and prisoners of racist political circumstance. And that's exactly where Brother Biko is doing right now. He is paying the price of what we have failed to do, which is to change the construct of how white supremacy rules over us. The outspoken ones are always targeted. The ones who are really putting their foot on the ground are the ones that are silenced by the naysayers and betrayers. This is where we have to take control of how our laws are being governed. And law enforcement should never be hands of the slave catcher. So now we're going to go to objective number 6, to develop and defend black youth. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense recognizes the good qualities and leadership potential in black youth. We seek to help them become leaders and defenders of our community. The future of our nation depends on this so-called lost generation. The history of the liberation struggle shows us black youth at the forefront. We excitedly welcome black youth into our ranks. We call for an end to gang violence and to end black-on-black violence in general. And when we talk about black-on-black violence, it comes in any shape, way, or form. That, it doesn't matter what minute detail it may be, that terminology needs to be thrown out altogether. We need to focus on the oppressor's actions and not turn on our own brothers, not turn on ourselves. At the end of the day, you have a higher power you have to respond to. So therefore, be mindful, black family, on how we move, especially on each other. We demand that every black youth or able-bodied person in this city and the region should be afforded a proper education and reasonable job at a good wage after the robbery of our people for over 400 years. We demand immediate end to the wholesale incarceration and criminalization of our black youth. We invite black college students' participation and affirm continuity in the struggle through the youth. And this is why we pay homage to our Howard University students. They're going through unnecessary turmoil because we as a nation have failed them. And we must fix that by offering aid to the visible students who are representing all black undergrads, wherever they are. They have to go through some type of struggle to get the same degree. Understand that. And if you're well-to-do and you didn't have a struggle, that means you've done something wrong. And this is where, Black family, we must hold those elitists accountable for the treatment of our young people. Number 7, to reclaim and develop Black neighborhoods. We strive with community residents to reclaim and clean up our community block by block. We organize patrols, community events, programs to reclaim our neighborhoods. We feed and clothe the homeless with the community support and always work with the downtrodden in our society. We demand adequate health and rehabilitation in our community. No, we are not guardian angels. Again, we must fight gentrification or the white takeover of the city. Simple as that. It may sound harsh to people, but we're still discussing reparations for blacks. So think about that before we run our mouth on that. We recognize this as a conspiracy to remove our people and the will to fight against it by any means necessary. We with the community shall establish a new code of conduct in the Black community of love, sisterhood, brotherhood, intelligence, peace, respect, unity, and struggle. Number 8, to defend Black rights in general, we shall struggle and organize against all forms of racism and discrimination against Black people in the region, federal, state and local government, racism, corporate racism, consumer racism, police discrimination, housing discrimination, and racist discrimination in general. The new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is the vigilant defender of the Black people's divine, human, and legal rights. To this end, we work through the Black Defense League and call on our Black legal organizations, activists, pastors, preachers, organizations, and leadership of every Black stripe to join with us against the evils of racism, inequality, injustice. It is freedom or justice or death. One or the other. Choose one. Last but not least, we reach to our 9th demand and local objective for the new Black Panther Party of Self-Defense. We demand local reparations and compensation. We affirm that the governments, corporations, and white private citizens of the region have willfully and intentionally and recklessly enslaved, discriminated against, robbed, and disenfranchised our people in the countless and innumerable ways. We affirm that the same entities' wealth in the region is rooted in the slave trade system, and we therefore demand that the guilty parties relinquish billions of our dollars owed in finance, land, and other necessary supplies as partial reparations to partially compensate for over 400 plus years of slavery, discrimination, brutality, racism, theft of the land, and abuse, defamation, slander, and a host of other crimes, too numerous to count, Black family, to broadcast in the worst magnitude. We demand the use of these partial compensatory damages for the institutional rebuilding of the Black nation and community with absolutely no strings attached. And finally, we fully support all national reparation movements and call on all Black organizations to fight for reparations by any means necessary. Black power. And so now we're going to go to our local brother for a musical break, and then we're going to wrap up with our host, Iman Akbar and Queen Mother Janae, and have any closing remarks. Right now we're going to play We the People from Minister of Culture, Describe.
Another scribe production. Revolutionary music. A call to action. Yeah. Let's get it. We the people was never about equality.
Nope.
How could it be when this country is built on rocks?
Yep.
The definition of people is still in evolution. Uh-huh. But this latest revision is sparking revolution. Yo, this country is fucked up, run amok. Better know who your people is and who to trust.
Uh-huh.
Every we the people ain't your fucking people. Cause every American don't consider you an equal. So tell me that I'm causing division. They divided this nation when they created the casteism. I'm a byproduct of this environment. This American experiment is violent. The revolution will be live televised. Speaking truth to white supremacy lies. We don't believe you lying as people. We ain't asking, we take it a sheep. Yeah? Are you fighting for diversity? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for exception? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for democracy? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for equality? Hell yeah. If you're looking for good trouble, stand up. By any means necessary, stand up. Yeah, time for real change, stand up. Just leave these ass people to the world. The Constitution wasn't written for people of color. It was written because they couldn't trust one another.
Who is that?
White men who own property. Jokers who should have been convicted for grand law.
Uh-huh.
But when the property required the gas drop, all white men had a right to the ballot box. Fast forward to the 15th Amendment. Black men were supposed to be recognized as citizens.
Yeah, right.
Took another 50 years to add women. We all became people with the 19th Amendment. So hold up, stop lying, shut the front door. The native people couldn't vote in 1924.
Wow.
Now that's some bullshit. First they come and steal the land. Add insult to injury with the voting ban. The oppression of his nation did a lot of harm. I want my fucking mule in my fucking saw. Are you fighting for diversity? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for exceptions? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for democracy? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for equality? Hell yeah. If you're looking for good trouble, stand up. By any means necessary, stand up. It's time for real change, stand up. Double E, D, A, people do the world. I hope you're smelling the smoke and can see the flames. That this country is divided and it won't change. We can only hope that some have a change of heart. You believe in God, pray for him real hard. But it's time to pick a side, that's the hard truth. Who you rolling with? John Brown or John Booth? Explain. John Booth was We the People all day. But John Brown was W-E-B-A. He promoted diversity to the Europeans. They accepted the African as a human being. He fought for our freedom harder than time of button. Supplied us with buttons and said you better butt. John Brown was gangster, thought about it. His commitment to freeing slaves never doubted. I trust the white, light-minded European before I trust a black Trump supporting African. Are you fighting for diversity? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for acceptance? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for democracy? Hell yeah. Are you fighting for equality? Hell yeah. If you're looking for good Trump, stand up. By any means necessary. Yeah, I wrote this song because the title of it is referring to the Constitution of Slavery. Has been divided for centuries, so it's time to accept it and to pick a side. The Constitution first has a racist, misogynist, white supremacist connotation to it, and those who still adhere to it, they can have it. But for those who don't, this song is for us. The 45 tapped into what was already here. He didn't start the movement, he just made it more crazy. So we have to step it up and be just as aggressive. The song will call the song racist and divisive. But it's not. This song isn't about black or white or Democrats and Republicans. It's about loving and caring like-minded people sticking together to make this country a better place for everyone. All skin folk ain't kin folk. There are many black people that I can't F with. I won't F with because we are not on the same page when it comes down to shit that really matters. The We the People movement is about embracing diversity, acceptance, democracy,
equality, and reparations for African descendants of slaves. We would not agree on everything, but we should always allow love and compassion to govern our decisions. But if you don't hear nothing else, hear this. The only way we're going to win this war is that we show up and show out at local and midterm elections. We have to vote in those like-minded people to make the policies we want to see. And if you're not seeing those people, you run. Because you can best believe that the other side is using that exact strategy. This is not a game. This is not a drill. This shit is real. Believe it. And lastly, to the white people who did it, our white allies, the onus is on you to educate your fellow white people who don't get it. Black people are utterly exhausted from carrying that burden. So we have to pass that baton to you. WEBA people, do the work. Do the work. Do the work.
All right, Black family, that's a Minnesota culture right there. Describe, we the people do the work. We the people is a simple term, but it's a powerful movement. We have to identify and separate ourselves in order for us to find ourselves. So I thank you again, Black family, to join us here another week of Black Power Radio, which will give you the facts, action, data, and truth like no other. Things that are affecting the Black community, be here or be square. That's how we do it here on Black Power Radio. So we want to wrap up and want to hear from our Iman Sheikha Tsar or Queen Mother Jhené on some closing remarks.
Black power.
Black power.
Strong Black military to Black to call for Black power. And there's nothing that we'll achieve at this hour that does not have a strong Black military to Black it and to support it, to subordinate the actions of we the people, as the Coastal Minister is showing us. That you need a Black military whether or not you think you need it or not. Take the word from a revolutionary and a Black revolutionary. Fred Hampton said, I am what? A revolutionary. And I say, I am a Black revolutionary. Must be consistently persistent in going after our Black revolution. Because we can live on polluted air and polluted water, but we definitely cannot live without our divine Black revolution. So we thank you, Dr. Mello Desire, Sister Jhené Cook Muhammad, and Brother Stephen Biko Muhammad, and all of those that contributed to making this a well-rounded show and balancing the scales for we the people. And we must make it to Los Angeles by May 19th. By hook or by crook, by any means necessary, we must get to Los Angeles, California, by May 19th, the 20th, and the 21st. And if you throw some money in the pot, we'll take 22 as well. That'll be that Sunday. Okay. Some will be returning home, but we're asking you to be there or be square, as the host is telling you that. To be there or be square, brother and sister. Don't let this revolution pass you by, but don't live on the east side and brag on how you've never been to the west side. And west side don't live on the west side and brag you ain't never been to the east coast. But get yourself in gear, brother.
Right on.
As you know, I
can get ready.
We got to get ready for the revolution. Words of Stokely Carmichael and other revolutionaries. You got to stay ready for the revolution. And we're here in no other spirit other than in divine Black revolution and the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and my brother Hashim Akhenaten and Zynga. Oh, you got to get Black power going. So with that said, we hope that you will crunk it up wherever you are and move out in the spirit of divine Black revolution. It is the only solution at this hour, brother and sister. If you just keep go. Oh, you say go. Just go to look at it. Don't stop looking. You just got to put your spirit in the way of freedom, justice, and equality. And I don't think anything less would not dignify you at this hour. If you don't, you deserve anything that the opposition got to put on you. You don't stand on this revolution. I thank you for your time and your effort. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High God, will continue to bless you and your family and your circumstances and all of your network. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power. And so, Black family, as we listen today, the nine objectives of what we at the New Black Panther Party of Self-Defense, what we stand by. And if you had missed it, just a quick recap. Objective one is to develop Black Power movement. Number two, Black Power through education. Number three, defend Black economic power. Four, to defend Black political power. Five is to develop and enforce accountability in law enforcement and criminal justice system. Number six, to develop and defend Black youth. Number seven, to reclaim and develop Black neighborhoods. Number eight, to defend Black rights in general. And last but not least, we demand local reparations and compensation. And this is not only that should be a mantra for the Black Panther Party. It should be a mantra for all Black people, wherever you are. Without these nine local objectives in your own neighborhood, you do not exist. So let's change that dialogue, Black family, and come together. As we are, little by little, these changes are coming, and the good, strong activists are coming out, and we must commune. So there is one verse I do want to read. Always have some spiritual ending. And the Quran, verse 2, verse 195, chapter 2, verse 195. It says, do good. The Lord always loved those who do good. Very simple. Do good, Allah always loves the ones who do good. And that is it. So, Black family, we hope to see you next week, and where we'll talk about the Neighborhood Collective Initiatives and how to come together.
Beloved, I'm so Black sorry. We had a couple of things out there going on. I believe we got the West Coast and Texas. Let me see if Texas wants to talk. We've got Texas and the West Side with Fred. Let's see if we can get those out of your way. 832-482-483 and 832-483. You're live on Black Power Radio. Are you there? 832. Black Power? Black Power. 832-483. Are you there? We're reaching out to you. Are you there? 832-483. Perhaps a Houston, Texas call. Huh? You copy? Can you copy it? She had Black Power Radio.
Yes, please.
They're not copying. When I go straight to Fred, if they're not there, we're going to try some Fred is always at the radio. Let's try some Fred out in Oakland, in Oaktown, California. You got the host right there with you in L.A. on that west side. We're calling out on Fred at 707-805. Fred, you're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, everybody out there in L.A. What's happening, ma'am? And that sister, you know how
all
we
right.
do it
That's
out here.
You,
yeah, now I'm going to tell you, you did a wonderful job tonight again, sis. And I really appreciate you coming on
you.
Black Power Radio with my main man, Osper. But listen. We got to get together because, really, truthfully, we got a lot of things going on down here in Oakland and everywhere I'm at. I'm in the post every day. I work. I'll be on my post. But, see, it's this crazy, like we said tonight. We got to get justice for the family, because right now this whole bit with the system is messed up, like you said this evening. We got to do something. So I'm going to take you back to my main man, Ospar, and back to Black Power Radio. And congratulations to your main man. I got you. So don't worry. Black Power,
all right.
We out.
Black Power, Black Power.
Thank you,
Dr. Miller's eye. Take it to the top and shoot the three. I mean, aim for the bottom of the net. And wherever you be, shoot the three. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power.
Black Power. All right. Okay, she's ready for some sound, some of that black and brown sound that we got in the background. Is that what we call it, Dr. Desire? We call them for the black and brown sound? Well, on the black and the brown, whatever you do, whatever you say, you know how my man Marvin Gaye is. He's always saying it best.
Coming around, I know we've got a long, long way to go.
sing up our ass down. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass. Well, and if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to listen, listen. this stuff for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, come and tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a COINTEL, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point fingers not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders with the fuck you respect. Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Told Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Crips and blood, crips and thugs. Body kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human borns that bleed too. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start
and
touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's
about to
start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
And we're going to continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color. We'll not be controlled by the old slave master and its covert racism. No other race of people, no Jews, no Indian, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it. And if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you have not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change within the solution. You want a concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folks people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house. And our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son, and after that he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you've got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man that build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man that build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man that build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community. And in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are, and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said their job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did along give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take backdoor, apologize to nobody for our focus. you better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
Control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally. Let no thought be your enemy.